Thank you, Brother Hyde. I appreciate it. I was trying to find the text. That'll tell you how much I don't know about Scripture. But I was trying to find the text there in Acts where Jerusalem sent Barnabas. And they said, go down and see what's going on down there. Barnabas showed up. And he said, says there, when he saw the grace of God, it's something you can visibly see. It's something that you can actually take your hand and put it on, brother. You can put your hand on the grace of God and hug it and put your arms around it. And I got to thinking about that, about how good he's been, because there's two holy places. Well, there's more than that, but can you imagine what goes through Paul's mind when he walks back through the area where God saved him? And see, I don't know where all of y'all got saved or got right with God, but this place here, when I talk about my testimony, I always have to say that little church over there in North Carolina. Amen. Because it was where I met the Lord that day. Amen. And I'd been talking to him, and I'd been trying to get things worked out in my life, and I'd been trying to settle some things with him. I'd try to work after things, but that morning, I knew that something was different that morning. And that morning, Brother Neil got up, and I know it's not in a man, but it sure isn't a man to preach it. He got up, and when he said, God got me up at 3:00. I knew something had done happened, that God was wanting to tell me something that morning here at this place. And I sat back there on the left about where she's at, and I sat there and I struggled and I fought and I was trying to give up. I was trying to fight. I was just struggling with it and struggling with my sin and struggling with it. But there was one thing that he dealt with at the end. He got down to his invitation, because we're Baptists, we have to get down to that point before we make any changes. And that's sarcasm if you don't know. But he said, some of you are going to let your pride send you to hell. I didn't realize how prideful I was. And I'm still fighting, and I know I am. But I was prideful. I thought I could earn some credit. I thought I could do something on my own. But that morning I gave God everything that I'd already given him. I'd already tried to give it to him. But that morning I said, you can have it all. You can have it all. Nothing in my life matters. You can have my life. You can have my gold, my silver, my land. You can have my future. Whatever you want, you can have it. Boy, I'm thankful for that morning over here in North Carolina. God stepped into my life that morning. Oh, what a blessing. There's a verse that's been on my heart and my mind. It's in the book of Psalms, chapter 1. And I just want to give you this thought this morning. This book starts out here, we assume, I guess, that David wrote it. It doesn't say in Psalms 1. Psalms 1 starts out the same way that Jesus starts his ministry there with blessed, blessed. And so David starts out here. I'm going to read the whole chapter, because it's probably the only chapter you got in this week. But it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Before I look at verse number 3, I would ask you about verse number 6. Do you know that you are of the righteous this morning? There's nothing more important in life. I have a hard time even understanding about politics and all that. And politics is nothing more than many ticks, which is blood-sucking insects. So there ain't too many of them that are good. But here we have Jesus, God. This is God. You can say what you want. It's God talking through David. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Have you ever been made righteous? Have you ever been changed from your old way? Behold, all things become new. The old man is dead. The old man is gone. He can no more live. We try to kill him every day, but he is totally separated from the righteousness that God does in a man through his soul. And here we have that he says that the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And he knows what you're doing. He knows where you're at and how you're living. He knows what's in your heart. He knows your motives. He knows your mindset. He knows your heart and the things that draw you. Some of you this morning wouldn't pay a dollar to watch a gnat eat a bale of hay. But come football season, you'll worship and praise God and do whatever you want. And this morning, we're here to worship God. Now, I'm not the best at it. I'm not some model, but I'm telling you, we're here to worship God and worship what he's done. I fail him so many times in that, but just to say thank you, just to stand up and say, God, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you've done in my life. I appreciate what you've done. Some of you might not understand this, but God uses things in a certain way to get you to a certain point so that you can have a certain way and a certain life with him. Some people, but I remember wanting something, and I didn't know what I wanted. But God used Denise, and I'm not promoting. I don't. But God used love for her.
Amen.
I thank God that she came to that church that night and just wanted to meet me. Because if it wasn't for her, and listen, if it wasn't for her, I would have never traveled up. Listen, I can remember the first time I seen the grace of God like Barnabas. But I remember the very first time I seen the grace of God. I went to Grandpa's camp meeting. I'd heard Dad preach before that, but I wasn't interested in that. I was interested in a girl. Amen. Y'all can say amen to that. But I remember going up there, and there was such a spirit around God that my flesh was having to be subdued. But I remember the old preacher got up. He's over, I think, in Vietnam now. I think he's ministering there. I can't remember. But he got up that night, and he preached on Daddy Cares. And that I didn't know what it meant to have family. I didn't know what it meant to have a dad. Listen, I didn't understand that there was a God in heaven that would associate himself with me to call me my son. I couldn't put it together. But I knew from that point on that there was a God in heaven that associated himself as a dad, that associated himself with a fleshly person with me to say that he cared about me. Oh man, that just it just settled some things, and it put established a groundwork for God to work off of, and I'm thankful for that. Psalms 1, verse number 3, it says, he shall be like a tree planted. Boy, oh my, I'm thankful for the purpose of God. God has a purpose in your life. Please don't miss this. I can't say whether or not you're saved altogether. I can look for fruit. My granddad used to he grew orange trees. They were called satsumas. And satsumas come from a wild plant that is nothing but big old thorny, worthless junk of a trunk of a tree. And God, my granddad would go out. And he would go out and he would get off of the good tree, brother. He would go to the good salt. He would go over to the good tree. He would cut off a little piece of that, and that because there was leaves coming out. And he would go back to this, and then he would make a little slit and slide that thing up in there. That was called a bud. And when he slid that up in there, he'd wrap it. And I remember him doing that time and time again. And once that started growing off of that rootstock, he would cut off all of that dead. He would get rid of that dead. But there was always a purpose in everything the gardener's doing, everything that the gardener is taking place for. I don't understand why he trims things. I don't understand why he cuts back things. I don't understand why he takes things away from us. I totally don't understand why he gives me things. But there are things that he does that is always on purpose for your life, somehow down the road, to benefit you and to benefit others. This tree has a purpose. This tree is a purposeful thing that is planted in a garden. It is planted by this river. It has all the nourishment it needs. It has all the capabilities to grow. It's in the right spot to grow. It's where God has planted it. He's put it on purpose. This tree produces shade. It's a big tree. Here's what happens, because I put myself in this place. You take and you don't like where God wants you. You don't like the life God has given you. And so what you do is you try to get a shovel and dig yourself up. And you try to move yourself. You try to move jobs. You're always changing jobs. You're always changing your ways. You're always changing your life. I don't like this music this day. I don't like that person. And I don't like this church. And I don't like that preaching. I don't like that singing. You try to move yourself. The whole time, you will not move yourself closer to the water. Never. We always move away from the source where we should be. We're moved away from God. Anytime you find yourself operating in the flesh, it'll always step back from God. Always. It will not move. Your flesh will not move closer to God. It will not say, this is good for me. The spirit can overcome. Your soul can overcome those things and overpower those things. Your flesh will not. Anytime you're operating on something that is not associated with God, it'll take a step back from God. It doesn't like the things of God. Well, I want my own job. I want my own play. I want my own money. Y'all ain't going to understand this. I'm just going to go ahead and say it anyway. There's two things that scared me before I got saved. Two things. Sounds crazy, I know, but I'm going to go ahead and tell it. Number one, it was Hanley Milby. And it wasn't the man. It was because I knew he could see something in me that wasn't right. I wasn't so much scared of the man himself, but what he represented as God's man. There was a presence. There's a presence with him. Secondly, I feared the song, I'd Rather Have Jesus. There was one chance, Brother Robert, and I say this. You can't say this, but I can say this. I could have got saved before I got saved. Now, don't run off with me on that, because I know God has a perfect time. But I told my wife, I said, I can't go to that meeting. That was the meeting that Michaela got saved at. I said, I can't go to that meeting. I changed my step back. I lied to my wife, bro. I lied to her. She knew I was lying. But I lied to her. Y'all are thinking horrible of me now, aren't you? But I lied to her, and I said, I can't get off. I can't get off work. She knew better than that. She knew where I worked. My goodness, I could have got off for that. But I was taking a step back from God. I was moving back because I knew they were going to sing that song. And in that, it's the old I'd Rather Have Jesus. And in that song, it says there that houses, land, silver or gold. Now this is what one of the verses said that I did not like. It said, I'd rather live in a shack by the road. Pride was carrying me through, buddy. I was operating under my own strength. I was operating under my own power. I was trying to do everything on my own. I had a nice home. God blessed us with a nice home when I was lost. I'm not denying that. He was good to me. He's blessed me my whole life. He's taken care of me. But I was turning that around and taking it as I'm doing this. And God just wanted my life, and he wanted to plant me how he wanted to plant me. Back to this tree. He said that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Slow down and let God work in your life. Slow down and let him bring forth fruit in your season. Let him work through you somehow. Just as Jonathan said, let him work through you where you're at. Quit trying to change everything. It's not even your responsibility to give the fruit out. It's their responsibility to come get the fruit from you. That goes a little odd, I know, but I'm telling you the truth. It is their responsibility. So why would I come to you? If I come to you and I want an orange that day, and I come to you and I go to that orange tree and I get an orange off of it and it's sour, do you think I'm going to come back to your tree anymore? No. I'm going to stay where I know there's good fruit at. I'm not going to stay there and keep going back where there's rotten fruit. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. You women that shop and grocery shop, if you always go somewhere that's, here we give you an example. Who has the best fruits and vegetables in town as far as grocery stores? Some of you are going to say Aldi. Some of you are going to say Walmart. Some of you are going to say the marketplace. Why? Because you know where to go for get those things for your family. Why is it not the same way spiritually? I know where to go to get good food. I'm not going to go somewhere where there's rotten food. And people around us are not going to want to associate themselves with you if it's rotten food. I'm going to buy some honey from you later. Okay? But what if I get home and that honey's nasty? Number one, I don't know if I'll tell you. I really don't, because I don't want to offend you. But number two, why would I want more? That guy's going out of business. He ain't going to do too good at this job, I can tell you that. But we people come in here. You've got visitors this morning. My family, other families, people visiting the house of God. They come into the house of God and they're never even said hello to. They're never even talked to. The simplest things in life, when we're at the grocery store, when we're on our job, when we're walking the dog, when we're living our life, Jesus dealt with the common folk because he wanted to get down where the people was at so that he could associate with them. If that man didn't like you, you would know it and you wouldn't be here. If I didn't think you liked me, I wouldn't come here. I'm just being honest. But we get it such a high standard that God is always putting us in a place where he can help us. He's always putting us in a predicament that is best for us. How many of you would choose to have cancer? Or choose to have a loss of loved ones? Or choose to have a loss or a physical infirmity? Why? Listen, it says there. I'm closing with this. Y'all remember the woman with the issue of blood? She had an infirmity 12 years. Is that right? Y'all with me? How old was Jesus? He was in his 30s. Is that right? 30. You good at math? 30 minus 12 is what? You're guessing now. He's 18. I think he's 18 years old, right? Is that what you said? Yes. 30 minus 12 is 18. Is that right? So if Jesus is 30 right here, and this woman's had an issue for 12 years, go back 12 years. He's 18 years old. Is that right? Where was he at this whole time? Where's Jesus been operating in your life and you didn't notice it? Can you think? See, here's the thing. Jesus was born of a carpenter. And his dad made things like benches. He made tables. He did carpentry work. Does that make sense? Do you think that his dad wanted to take some carpentry to a town where this woman is just starting out with an issue of blood? Just starting out. Jesus is 18 years old. There's a woman standing off, by the way, walking down the street. His dad's doing business. Joseph, they're doing business. And so here's Jesus. He's standing around listening to his dad. Listen, I'm not making this up. This is true life story. Jesus was 18 years old at some point, and if you go back 12 years when she first got this issue of blood, she didn't know that Jesus could have been in the same town watching her. Knowing. She needs 12 more years. She needs 12 more years before she'll come to me. Out of all these years, so after the first year, this little bit of blood, so she's got an issue of blood, and it gets a little bit worse. And she thinks she's okay. It'll pass. It'll be okay. It's the way we do, you know. We think we can handle this with God. We think we can live a normal life. Well, this issue will pass. I can make it through this storm. And so the blood gets a little bit worse. And the blood gets, she goes to her friend. She starts talking to her friend. She says, hey, I got this problem. I was hoping you could help me with. Meanwhile, Jesus is 19, he's 20, he's 21, 22. He still might be coming to the same town. He still might be seeing her walk down the street. He wants to help her. He knows it's coming after 12 years of her infirmity, but he's waiting for her to be ready. He was ready the whole time, but it just wasn't right. You need to understand that in your life, God's ready to work. He's waiting for you to get right. He's waiting for you to get to the point that you'll give up. The woman with issue of blood had no other way. She had tried all that she could try. She went to the doctors. She went to her friends. She went to the medical place. She had all the prescriptions on the wall. She had called all the TBN people on TV. She's tried everything that she knew. Till Jesus was coming into town one day. When he was coming in after 12 years of this, Jesus is now the right age. She's now the right predicament. She pressed through and touched. Don't give up on God at 11 years. Don't give up on God today. Do you know you still have a chance right now for the grace of God to intervene in your life and change your life? You have that opportunity to change your life, what's going on today, right now. Amen. I can't promise you tomorrow. I can't promise you what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen. But you can live for God today and change your life. You have that opportunity right now. You have that ability. You have that access. You can get fruit off of others. You can change your life today if you so see fit. You say, well, it's all up to God. If it's all up to God, then why does he say that whosoever will come? It's your responsibility. God puts it on us to change ourselves. He provides everything we need. He's provided himself. He's provided the word of God. He's provided the man of God. He's provided the sanctuary. He's provided the songs. He's provided everything we need to change ourselves. But we stubborn ourselves and step back and say, I'm not changing. We're like a tree planted. We didn't put ourselves there. We produce fruit because it's in us. It's in the root. We produce that. We produce the shade so that others can come and partake of that and benefit under the shade. The shade does nothing for the tree itself. It may provide a little bit of shade around it for the moisture, but he's planted by the river. What does he care about that? The shade is for you to come underneath me and get some shade. It's not for ourselves. We live ourselves like it's all about us. But you wasn't planted here. None of you in here took it upon yourself to come to the house of God unless God has something inside of you that he wants to help you with. I believe that. I believe God's got you here to hear something. I don't know what it is. I don't know exactly how it's going to change. I don't know what it's going to be. But God wants to help you this morning. He wants to do something in your life to change you for tomorrow. I believe that. If you're not going to be changed for tomorrow, you might as well go on out the doors. Change something. Get closer to him. Get up underneath his wings closer. Let him take care of you. Let him solve the problems you can't solve. Let him.